are the governor's letters, and to present those are Carrie Gray. And Carrie, as always, as you know, everything is recorded and broadcast live and indexed. So just for the record, you know, whoever speaks, just introduce yourself on the mic so folks who are not here. And then we also have on record. So with that, welcome, and we look forward to hearing more budget recommendations through the governor's letters. Thank you. Floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you see, Alex Kane and Mary Cahill are here, and some of us had better expertise on some of these letters than others. So we'll, if it's all right with you, offer the testimony from the person who's the most knowledgeable about a particular topic. Okay, so on the AML pieces, the presenter is Alex. So you want us just to go ahead and start with those?
In that order?
In, we have a chart here that has an order with an AML. Is that the same order?
Yeah, I think we all have those, and we all have a copy of your letters.
Okay.
Everybody has copies? Okay, I think. Now, this was on my desk. It wasn't in my tray. It was right on my desk. Okay, if you want that. Okay, I think we're ready.
Mr. Chairman, Governor's
and letter. And I would just say this, Alex and Carrie, and you have to pull those mics really close. They're not like our old mics where they're. So go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Alex Keene, Governor's letter number one is on abandoned mine lands, extension of prior authorization. The items included in this letter, I believe you received a letter from Department of Environmental Quality on this issue. This is just the governor submitting a letter to identify those prior authorizations that need to be carried forward.
Now, Alex, is you, do you have any more comment on that or you want questions? Okay, on the paragraph following those citations, it says the work, I'm going to go down about to the middle, says line 5, the next sentence there. The work contemplated under the extension has been delayed by factors beyond the control of the agency. And this talks about, then the next sentence about in the case air quality, delay authorizing work through contracts or amendments while awaiting EPA rulemaking. So this is not, to be clear, this is the original uses that were authorized by the legislature for these dollars, and we're just extending the authorization merely. We're not moving them from some other authorization to this to a new authorization. It's just purely an extension.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. There's no redirection of these funds. They're existing appropriations that the date needs to be extended on.
Okay. Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you. Next.
Mr. Chairman, Alex Keene again. Governor's letter number 2 relates to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund Reserve Account. This governor's letter works in combination with the AML letter of the new $165.4 million, Governor's letter number 3. Governor's letter number 2 talks specifically about 2015 session law, chapter 142, section 346, the contingent appropriations. The purpose of this letter is to suggest that if you were to guarantee 4% of the FY 2016 spending policy amount out of the reserve account, you would be able to cover up to $108.8 million more of the projects contained within Section 346. The letter goes on to recommend a slight reprioritization of Section 346, and that's demonstrated on the next page, a table that includes all projects within Section 346 but reprioritizes several of them.
Now, we currently don't guarantee any amount on that Senate File 46 actually begins with fiscal year 17. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
But there is profiled in Craig about 2.1% profile. This would, how does that work with the profile 2% and this guarantees 4%? How, this, so that all works together.
Mr. Chairman, the Section 346 language identified the amount of investment income that would be above the Craig projection using the January 2015 Craig report. That amount was $140,700,000. So that $140,700,000 goes into the general fund. Subsequent to that Craig report, Craig has added $2.9 million to that estimate for investment income off of the PMTF. That $2.9 million would be counted against Section 346. What this contemplates is adding additional money to that through a guarantee of 4% of that spending policy amount to be applied to the prioritization as the governor has attached.
So we profiled 2.1%, and this would guarantee then another, is it another 1.9% or profile another 1.9%, or how does that?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe it would profile it into the general fund. I believe it would profile it against the dollars within the PMTF reserve account. It's a guarantee. They still wouldn't be distributed until the end of the fiscal year in accordance with Section 346. What it would do is create a larger or a smaller unencumbered balance within the PMTF reserve account.
Okay. I'm just, Mr. Co-Chair, go ahead. I'm kind of trying to frame my next.
Alex, in terms of where we sit here today, will there be any money without doing something in Section 346, Tranche 3?
What's your best estimate then, how that's coming in?
Mr. Chairman, I believe today there would be the $2.9 million that Craig has actually adjusted the projection for. So that's on the dividend and interest side. That's the only known dollars to date. I believe there has been some realized gains to date within the PMTF. Those will not be known or distributed until the end of the fiscal year. I believe there has been some losses taken recently and posted to that account. So at this time, I don't have much confidence that there's going to be any significant money coming in above the Craig projection.
So the capital payment, first capital payment, the passing lanes, which was number two on that list, you don't feel that any of those will be funded?
Mr. Chairman, I am uncomfortable at this point in time in saying that any of those would be fully funded.
Okay. Okay, now let's just talk about that 4% number.
Mr. Chairman, before we go on,
okay.
Don, is that your new forecast on that? Because at one point we thought there was going to be 30 or 35.
I thought there was going to be the capital would.
Go ahead, Don.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ross, Representative Nicholas, if you take the first 6 months and extrapolate that out to the full fiscal year, and add in the $2.9 million of interest and dividends that Mr. Keene referred to, I think you would get pretty close to the first payment of $37.5 million. A caveat to that is in the last 2 weeks, we've had significant reductions in losses, at least paper losses, to the Treasurer's portfolio. And I think what Alex is saying is we could lose even those realized gains to date. And in fact, you could lose beyond that amount. So I think that's what's driving his discomfort. My estimate was if the second 6 months is the same as the first 6 months, then yes. And I think Alex is saying that is currently less and less likely.
Okay. So then go ahead, Ms. Co-Chair.
Oh,
are you still going?
No.
Okay, Senator Perkins, go ahead.
So when you're saying that, what I take it that what you believe that the treasurer would do at this point is he would offset all realized capital gains against realized capital losses at this point?
Don, what do you?
Mr. Chairman, yes. And what we can't tell is what the fund managers will do. Did they sell last week? I suspect some of them may have, in which case that wipes off any gains that we experienced in the first 6 months. So that's the big unknown. We not only tracking which direction the markets go, but when the investment managers on their own volition will elect to trade securities.
Okay. So then my question is on the goldenrod. So Alex and Don, I look, and so 17, 18, that balance, we've got $205 million, right, is the balance. And that all, does that have the – where does the capital loan – is not figured into that 205 yet?
Mr. Chairman, it is not, but it's included in the note below where it says $107 million of this amount is obligated against the capital in the case of an interfund transfer.
So it's but then it says it's leaving $149 million. So what is the balance 255 or 205? You see what I'm saying? I mean, because 149 doesn't jive with 110 million or 100 million capital loan.
Mr. Chairman, that is the 255 minus the 107, leaving 149. And of that 149, you are taking $50 million as part of the backflow or the guarantee, which was included in last year's Senate File 146.
Okay. Oh, okay. So then what's the and I understand these two work together. If you guarantee 4%, you pull $37.5 million off of that. So it's a net $70 million more. You see what I'm saying? What's the balance then if you guarantee the 4% and you have to use that? What's the balance then on the reserve account?
Mr. Chairman, I think it is $98 million before the governor's recs. And he is, I think, recommending spending $108 million, but some of that offsets.
$37.5 million.
Exactly.
So the balance then is $98 million minus $108 plus $37. Is that correct? So it's $27 million, roughly.
Mr. Chairman, I think we came up with very close to that.
So that $27 million then is what's going to guarantee the 2.5% going forward in fiscal year 17?
Mr. Chairman, no. That 27 would be available to guarantee for 19 and 20. We've already taken into account 17 and 18 through the $50 million reduction on in parentheses there, the auto appropriation.
Okay. And that amount that needs to be guaranteed in 1920 is going to be how much?
Roughly another $50 million.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's say we do this, everything rolls out as planned, and we don't hit the 2.5%. We only hit 2.1% for both FY17 and 18. You very well could have a situation in 19 and 20 where you have insufficient balance to cover both years' guarantee of 19 and 20, if that makes sense. You need a guarantee of $50 million, but you've only got 30 in the balance.
Okay. Which would be, I mean, that's unlikely, but it'd be a 1 in 100 event probably. Okay. I'm just tracking this. Okay. Any other questions on this? At this pace, we'll be done tonight at midnight, I think. So I'll try to speed this up. But okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Alex, thank you. And then now the next one you said kind of goes with it, Governor's Letter 3.
Mr. Chairman, correct. Governor's Letter Number 3 discusses the newly available $165.4 million of prior balance AML payments. This governor's letter is a multi-step letter. The governor's recommendation in this letter is to substitute the full $165.4 million within the Department of Transportation's budget for 17 and 18. Within that budget, there's a standard general fund budget rec for $46 million, so the governor would be asking one time to substitute out that $46 million of general fund standard budget. And then there's a statutory distribution of federal mineral royalties to the Department of Transportation that's $60.1 million per year, or $120.2 million for the biennium. So when you add those two values together, it's more than the 165.4. In doing that, it will free up the $165.4 million to be appropriated as the legislature sees fit. The governor has attached, along with that, the spending priorities that he would utilize that money for.
Before we go to that, can you just explain the you'd want $60 million in borrowing authority for the department?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, the borrowing authority is necessary because the federal mineral royalties would roll into the Department of Transportation's budget as they're received by the state. So for cash flow purposes, through the AML process, there is a delay between when the grant is submitted and when payment is received back to the state. So the Department of Transportation would have to spend those dollars first to receive the AML dollars back. And so what the agency would need is the ability to borrow some amount of cash up front. The estimate is $60 million here, so that they would have cash in place to start working on projects day one.
Okay. Agency pool, basically.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's correct.
Okay. Okay, and then the projects that the governor's possible projects are on the back?
They are. And these possible projects utilize the amounts contained within Section 346 of the prior governor's letter, and the estimates are to attempt to fully fund these projects. The other addition to this would be in the governor's profile, he had identified $25 million for surface transportation projects. And through governor's letter's actions, he would like to change that recommendation to utilize this 165.4 for $25 million in additional surface transportation projects, reducing the LSRA ask of an equal amount. So as we walk through line two is the UW Science Initiative. The total estimated need on that was $100 million. There's $30 million in Section 346 and $30 million in the governor's current recs out of the LSRA. So the additional funding need would be $40 million. The next project is the state health facilities. The total estimated need was $149 million. There's currently $35.7 in the account. There's $25 million in Section 346 and $10 million of LSRA in the 17-18 governor's recommendation. So this would make up that difference to fully fund the $149. The next one is the Casper office building. In this evaluation of it, it's utilizing, I believe, the highest number of the three options within that of $44 million. So as you can see, there's $20 million in Section 346 and $10 million of LSRA in the 17-18 governor's recommendation, resulting in a final need of $14 million. When combined, this leaves about $7.9 million, and this would be of substituted funds that would be available for other appropriation. The one additional caveat to this would maybe be if – Section 346, if you go to the 4%, there may be a little bit of unfunded, a small unfunded amount still in the state health facilities appropriation in that of about $3.7 million.
Okay.
So this would be a place where you could
add that. So taken together, these two letters fully fund the Science Engineering Initiative, State Health Facilities, Casper Office Building, and the current governor's budget recommendation.
Including the current governor's budget recommendation.
Sure. That's correct. Okay. Any questions? Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nicholas.
One question. I was curious why, or if it was possible to use current 2016 transportation fund project dollars that are being funded, how much money that are available, not to move all of this into the 17-18 biennium to speed up the swap process.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I'm not sure I can answer that, but I'd be happy to find out what their unexpended remaining balance would be for this current fiscal year.
Okay. Representative Conlon.
Just to be clear, the bottom line of $7.9 million in those AML funds the governor is leaving on the table?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's correct. And bear in mind, these would be substituted out, so they wouldn't be AML prior balance dollars at that point.
Okay. Okay, next we're on Governor's Letter 4.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Governor's letter number 4 deals with
Can
a cyber.
Can you introduce yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. You should know by my voice. Nobody else has this voice. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Mary Kay Hill, Governor Meade's Policy Director. The governor, in concert with the Department of Enterprise Technology Services, some folks at the University of Wyoming, and Homeland Security Council of Governors, which is a National Governors Association initiative, have identified cybersecurity as one of the principal threats to our systems, whether it's our water systems, our public utility systems, rail systems, other items. So Deputy Chief Tony Young specifically has worked to bring those folks together. And what we're proposing here is an initiative which would develop a cybersecurity training program in concert with the University of Wyoming and LCCC. This would require some contract expertise that we would run through the Department of Workforce Services. And the ultimate goal is to train students to become skilled at working to prevent cybersecurity attacks in our various systems. This would result in a credentialed program and a national certification that is at a high level. Thus, the initiative would address two critical items. One, a need we have in the state of Wyoming for this kind of skill, and a skill that's very marketable for our students and citizens if they choose to go other places. We've attached the Department of Enterprise Technology Services business case to this, and I would say, Mr. Chairman, I think it's important to designate which things were on the profile, which were not. Full disclosure, this was not on the governor's profile initially, so this would be new money.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mary Kay, is there an estimate, start to finish, if you start this program, when you would graduate the first student with this certification?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, they believe that once we get these funds, it'll be fairly quick process to contract for the expertise who can help build the program. There have already been substantive academic conversations with the University of Wyoming's College of Engineering and Applied Science, computer science faculty, the department head there, and with LCCC. So, you know, you're always hesitant to commit to a certain date, but it could happen fairly quickly in government space, so perhaps in time for the 16-17 school year, if not 17-18.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, Mary Kay, a couple questions. One, is this a common type of program? Are there other programs in the region that offer this same certification?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, there are not very many. This is a very new and emerging skill set. This particular program is the gold standard credential that people in the technology and cybersecurity industry have identified as having the proper skills, so we would need to build toward those credentials. One of the reasons that we're bringing this to you is that the program is not available in the region.
And Mr. Chairman, just as far as the stand-up of this type of program, is it going to require the hiring of additional and different kinds of faculty, or will you be using this and incorporating expertise that is already in place? That's question one. And then question two, what's contemplated as far as the number of students that would be impacted? I mean, are we talking a handful of students or, you know, just not an exact number, but a range of what we're looking at?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, this would involve the hiring of faculty at the university and at the community college level. First step is to identify the program that could be implemented and at which levels it would be most effectively implemented. But there is, to be really clear, an anticipation that additional faculty would be hired both at the university and at Laramie County Community College, which has been the partner to date. Like all of these programs, it would graduate just a handful of students to begin with, and depending on the interest, could grow.
Okay.
Senator Perkins and then Representative Connolly.
I'll defer to Representative Connolly.
Okay, Representative Connolly.
Mr. Vice President. Mary Kay, I'm curious about the timing of the request. We've heard from the university, for example, about wanting a statewide Bachelor of Science in Nursing or a counselor education program, things like that, that we've talked about for a couple of years. And we also heard the university's budget and the community college budgets without any discussion of this. And so, again, this I'm curious about the timing of this request between having agencies present their budgets and the governor's original budget.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Connolly, in fairness to the developers of this proposal, this had been under discussion prior to submitting our budget. It became somewhat overshadowed by the urgent budget situation that developed, trying to find funds to cover 16 deficits and other things. So in some respects, it slipped the attention of our office. This was not considered by the University of Wyoming Board of Trustees, and so is not in their request. This comes to you clearly as a governor's priority to develop this expertise.
Okay. Any other? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm sorry if we're replaying ground, but I didn't quite hear the answer. So is this like a one-year program, two-year program? How many years will a student take to get through this program?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, the credentials that are envisioned are somewhat stackable. You have that in a lot of these industry credentials where you can get a two-year credential that it run through the community college. You graduate with an associate's degree and with the credential. Then there is a more elevated opportunity that would come through a four-year program at the University of Wyoming, at which point you would have your bachelor's degree and this credential.
Ms. Chairman, Mary Kay, so is this would this be? Is it envisioned that for example, if in stackable one, that it would just be a certificate program like a Microsoft certification, or is it anticipated that level one would be in conjunction with and as a part of an associate's degree program? And same as you go to two, would that be associated with a bachelor's degree program? How would, what's the vision for this? I skimmed the business case, but I didn't see that information readily available.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, the governor's proposition is to focus on both the academic and the skill set involved. So it would be a companion academic credential or academic degree and an industry credential. So For example, you can get a Microsoft certification at one level or two levels or three levels. This is a different approach and a different skill set that would be required. So it's, in the governor's view, connected to what would happen at the community colleges in a full two-year academic program and at the university as well in a full four-year, and in this case, within the computer science department. So you'd have that.
Mr. Chairman, I've got two more questions. So is the credentialing that's anticipated, is the credentialing anticipated require the achievement of a degree? For example, many law schools, many CPAs, or to be a member of the bar, one of the requirements is that you have that, not only the training, but you also have the degree. Not every place is like that, but a lot of, so is that the kind of credentialing we're talking about?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I don't know.
Okay.
But I'll have to find that out for you.
And then my final question, Mr. Chairman, is this is the 1.2 to get started. Is there an anticipation that once this is up, this will be a reoccurring part of a standard budget somewhere, or how do you see those costs moving forward?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, the hope would be to evaluate and then make a recommendation in the next biennial budget. This is very new. It's very new in Wyoming. It's very new across the country, so we don't have lots of other models from which to choose. Yes, it would be a recurring program. There would be an ongoing need for these kinds of skills and for these kinds of employees that could emerge in the workforce. So, yes, it would be a reoccurring. Whether or not that would be reoccurring within the university's budget or a college budget, I think we'd need to do some implementation and then come back and talk to you about that.
Thank you, Mr. Senator.
You got your answer, Dave.
My question is, you know, I just finished reading an article last week about programs at the University of Wyoming and in comparison to Colorado State University. And in that article, it was talking that Wyoming, the University of Wyoming, had 111 different degree programs and that Colorado State with almost double the amount of students has just 78. And so I was going to ask the question as to why we would start a new program during diminishing financial times.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wasberger, the effort to take a good look at those the current University of Wyoming programs is very important because there are certain programs that are stronger than others. There are programs in which enrollment is strong. There are programs in which enrollment is non-existing. So the governor's view would be that the Board of Trustees' effort and the new president, Lori Nichols, as she comes in, to take a really good look based on data at which degree programs should remain and which should be eliminated. That'll be a tough discussion on campus. But that is also not intended to exclude a priority program when it can come in.
Mr. Chairman, just want to make sure the $1.2 million is strictly for getting individuals into Wyoming to build a program, and then it would be part of a curriculum offered by the university or a CCC or something like that. And I guess I assume the cost of the students would be the same as any other. So this is just for those experts to develop the program.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hazard, there is in the business case a budget lined out, so there are anticipated professionals who'd come in and consult with us to build those programs. And, yes, tuition for a degree would be just like tuition for this program.
Mr. Chairman, Alex Keene, Governor's Letter 5 addresses the results of the 2016 January Craig. As we all know, there were reductions in both the fiscal years 2015-16 and fiscal years 2017-18. So the governor has made recommendations on both of those bienniums in this letter to cover the newly identified $31 million shortfall for fiscal year 2016. The governor is recommending reducing the health insurance carryover account amount by $5.672 million. That would take that to zero. You may recall he utilized $10 million from this account in his original reductions. The $5.6 million was being held until the impacts of the Affordable Care Act were identified subsequent to the findings of how many people enrolled to that. It's felt that these dollars can be reverted back to the general fund. The next amount is $1 million, and that was for a SLIB access purchase for the Evansville Bridge, for a bridge to access Evansville. That is no longer needed. The next amount is $10 million, and this would come from Section 320 of the 2014 budget bill. This would be for fiscal year 2016 compensation increases. The funds within this account for the executive branch are a little over $13 million. However, none of that money has been B11'd out to agencies to cover those compensation increases. The compensation increases were given out to state employees. However, the funds existing in agencies' budgets were sufficient to cover those compensation increases to this point. The next amount is $5 million. I believe the Department of Corrections identified an amount that they feel could be realized in additional vacancy savings.
Alex, I have a question on the $10 million you just said that wasn't needed because agencies had that money in their 100 series already. Is that how that was said, or did I misstate that?
Mr. Chairman, I believe in the analysis, and as people change positions and the compensation increases were given out on an individual-by-individual basis, the amount of money that was identified to go out to agencies in the 2014 budget was calculated using the known payroll information at that time. As the actual dates came and people were could receive compensation increases, that amount was calculated. Those compensation increases were given out. The demand on the actual pot of money in the budget office was reduced, equivalent basically to what the need was in the budgeted amount for that position that somebody was sitting in. So you could have a different budgeted amount for a position than that incumbent was being paid or received, basically because of the timing from when that budget was established to when that person received a compensation increase.
Okay, so it wasn't that their pay increases were given with vacancy float or anything else. It was more of a timing of classifications.
So some criteria was set out, Kerry Gray, Chief Staff for the Governor, Mr. Chairman. There were certain criteria set out for pay increases. You had to be employed by the state for a minimum of 1 year. You had to have a certain, at least a satisfactory rating in your merit pay increase. And then, of course, you had to be actually in the position. So what happens is, currently, I think we're floating about 800 vacancies. So when the legislature made the appropriation, obviously they made it, so that it would cover all contingencies. So it covered 100% of positions authorized in the state. And so as you actually begin to work those numbers and put those pay increases out, you're going to have people who have not been in a position for a year, who had a less than satisfactory rating on their PMI, or a position that was vacant, somebody left. And so all those things factored in. It actually, over the course of the biennium, resulted in excess money being available in the compensation allocation by the
So the point is, we're not going to have some liability in the future by spending this.
No.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Continue on there, Alex.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the last piece is a $9.5 million through the Department of Family Services, and I believe you talked to the agency this morning on that issue.
Yeah.
The second section of this letter.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Greer.
So the question that comes to mind is what what reversions are still out there for 13, 14, what agencies haven't reported in, and what's that amount?
We think there's probably still another $15 million out there, isn't there? I don't know how much of that.
Mr. Chairman, I think Don Richards might be better able to answer that.
Don, can you help us with that?
Mr. Chairman, and we did post this out in SharePoint. There's approximately $48 million, but we believe many of those will not come back and are just being misclassified in the accounting system. For example, the University of Wyoming has a number of capital construction projects. Well, because of the way they are set up, it doesn't show up as a CapCon project, and it has the appearance that that money will be reverted. Even if it is, the reversion doesn't come back to the general fund. It goes to the capital restoration and renovation account. So our best estimate, and in the case of DFS, our best estimate was wrong because we were hoping for about, you know, closer to the 50-50 that the chairman spoke of this morning, would be $27 million in outstanding. The other big agencies are the Department of Agriculture and Department of Parks and Cultural Resources, which still have 13-14 funding outstanding.
Parks and Rec still has 13, both those do, and Ag? When are we going to get that cleaned up? I mean,
yeah, Mr. Chairman,
go ahead. That was due last October. Okay. Representative Greer?
Mr. Chair, I think I'm wondering the same thing as you, is why aren't we getting that locked down?
I mean, we're sitting here making budget cuts, and then we're going to have, you know, $20 million revert back and previously appropriated general funds, and then somebody's going to have hurt feelings because their program got cut. Significant money. So maybe we can get an update on that here. Today's Monday, maybe in the next 24, 48 hours before we start marking up and putting all this.
Mr. Chairman?
We might be able to get you some information.
You're not on the mic.
Can you ask Kevin to talk about that?
Mr. Chairman?
Kevin?
I think in concert with the fact that the $10 million that we allocated through Section 320, the salary increases, for example, we aren't B11ing or we're not putting that money back into any agency's budgets, okay? We made those salary increases as the law prescribed, but the $10 million isn't necessary because we're recognizing the same thing that Don Richards is from a different look, is that there's some money laying on the table in the agency's budgets, and we have the fullest intent of being able to manage our budget for the remainder of the biennium and still release that $10 million that we did not put in their budget. And basically what we're trying to do here is not put money into a budget and then have to turn back around and take it away. So that comes into concert now. Now we know that there's another one, and I think that's, this would fit into the statistics that Don has as well, is what takes place between now and the end of the biennium with Title 25. We did take $17 million on the front end of this, and we think that there's more out there, but we have to get through the remainder of the biennium. So we're hesitant to go out and grab that as well. But that could be as much as $10 million.
So you're telling me that with 13, 14 budgets?
Mr. Chairman, no. This is just in the current appropriation.
What about the 13, 14 budgets?
I'm not aware of anything that's of any significance, real significance, outside the conversation that we've had on Department of Family Services.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Conley and Representative Greer.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So Kevin, honestly, I am confused. Don Richards just told us that we can expect another $20 million in reversions from the Department of Ag and State Park and Cultural Resources. It sounded to me to start with that the governor in some way wanted to hold on to that to pay for Title 25. But now I think I heard you say you don't, or the governor's office doesn't really think that there's reversion money from those two additional departments. So I'm a bit confused.
Mr. Chairman, the Title 25 issue is isolated directly with the Department of Health. We know that there are still some anticipated reversions that are coming from the Department of Health, but we don't know what the full outcome of Title 25 is. The Department of Health has a provision to move 100 series money down in to take care of Title 25. As far as the State Parks and Culture Resources and the Department of Agriculture for the 13 and 14 biennium, I'm not aware of any level of significance in those two budgets.
Mr. Chairman, can I interject? I think we're talking about two. I think Mr. Hibbard was talking about salary, and I think we were had moved on to these 13-14 reversions. So I think we're just talking about two things. So we will get back to you on 13-14 reversions and how we're going to clean them up on the Department of Ag and the Department of Parks and Cultural Resources.
Okay, and we'll double check and we'll get it figured out here in the coming hours. Okay. All right. Is there any question? Did we actually cover this second paragraph on number 5?
Mr. Chairman, I believe we need to cover the 17-18.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
The governor's letter identifies that he asked all agencies to prioritize their programs within their budgets, and they presented those prioritizations to this committee. If removing prioritized programs is not the direction, there's $14.85 million of shortfall. There is a significant amount of vacancy savings that are budgeted in the 17-18 biennium for positions that are vacant today. And so the governor would ask to work with this committee and with the legislature to identify which vacancies could be removed that would make the most sense in reducing that overall standard budget number.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chair.
And, Alec, does he get to the 14.85? Is that taken into consideration that he'd left $29 million on the table? Is that how you get to that figure?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. So to get to that as compared to the LSO Goldenrod, the LSO Goldenrod identifies that reduction in 15-16 that's carried over into 17-18. So this letter addresses filling that $31 million hole, and then it does remove the dollars that the governor had left on the general fund bottom line and just gets to zero in the general fund.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Number 6, I think we're on.
Mr. Chairman, Governor's letter number 6 is regarding prior appropriations. So Section 334 of the 2014 budget bill had a $17.275 million appropriation. The big piece of that, $15 million, were for the Integrated Test Center. The governor is asking to carry over that appropriation so that work can continue.
Okay. How much most of that money is still intact? I mean, it has several initiatives from coal ports to all kinds of things. Everything we've done, really, over the last 10 years, we kind of rolled into one.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. There were a number of sections that all added to this. Of the 17, a million of it was for the governor's energy initiative, 15 million was for the integrated test center, and the other pieces were a combination of smaller projects.
How much of that 17.275 is still left? Do we know that just off the top of your head? If not, we can find out later.
We don't know the exact dollar amount, but it's the bulk of it. It's because the bulk of the money was for the integrated test center, Mr. Chairman, and it's just getting off its feet here.
Well, if there's some little parts in there we need to refill or those kind of things, I mean, it's always been important to this committee to make sure we keep some of those initiatives and policy statements, if nothing else, moving forward. So if we could kind of get a balance on all those subsections, that'd be great. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we'll get those.
Okay, any more questions on 6? I think we're moving to 7.
Mr. Chairman, Mary Kay Hill, I'll take the We the People program request. Over the last, I think, maybe even 3 biennia, you have agreed with a small appropriation for a We the People program. We the People is not like other high school activities. It's not part of the Wyoming High School Activities Association programs through which there are support mechanisms for each one of those, whether it's scheduling competitions to training teachers or coaches or other things. We the People competition has been provided this support, these support funds, and they in turn work with the Wyoming Council on the Humanities and others to provide the administrative support for the program. They provide professional development for some of the teachers and coaches of the We the People competition. The large expenses associated with We the People are in fact borne by the program participants. You have lots of volunteers in your communities, in your local high schools, who will show up to judge those competitions, whether they're local lawyers or judges or others. Wyoming teams have done really well when they go to the national competition, so the governor would ask that you continue the support that you've provided, I want to say, for the last 6 years in this relatively small appropriation.
Okay, any questions? Okay, next.
Mr. Chairman, the next letter is on surface transportation. I think the committee would be well aware of highway studies that it requires $63.7 million of additional funds to maintain Wyoming's highway system today's overall condition. That incorporates in that the $47.8 million that the Department of Transportation receives as a result of the fuel tax increase of a couple years ago. So the governor recommends $25 million. He originally recommended that money out of his profile from the Legislative Stabilization and Reserve account. But roads are an area which are qualified for the use of AML funds, and so he, in this letter, has altered that recommendation, as Alex talked about a little earlier, to come out of the abandoned mineland funds, and so that would make a difference. It makes a difference a couple letters from now when we talk about some support for local governments to the bottom line of the governor's recommendation out of the LSRA.
Okay, any questions? Kevin, I'm going to ask you this question on the highway, new highway bill. Doesn't it add like $50 million a year to Wyoming's federal funds, or is it billed up to $50
million? Mr. Chairman, I believe that you heard in testimony from Director Panos that while the appropriations bill, the five-year bill, gave the Department of Transportation, I believe, on average, $20 million. They don't expect that $20 million is going to be that quick on the first year of that bill. And also, you heard Director Panos testify that while the state of Wyoming appropriates dollars with the expectation that the agency has the ability to spend them, that's not necessarily the case with a five-year authorization. You have to understand that that authorization is an estimate of what Congress is going to supply. It's not to be correlated with the actual amount of money that YDOT's going to receive. And historically, there's a takedown, and that happens in the annual appropriations bill from Congress, and that's when the contract authority comes. So if you're looking at this as $20 million a year, I don't believe you can count on that. And a lot of things are going to be in play long before YDOT actually gets the appropriations from Congress for those federal dollars. And also, the amount of money that YDOT has historically been taken down over the years, you know, it kind of nipped at their budget, and now that additional money kind of puts them back to where they once were. So in the long scheme of things,
you're talking about the feds have decreased it over the last 10 years.
You know, there was a downward slope, and then now you have an expectation of the five-year authorization.
But isn't this $67 million number, that's a current number of current dollars, right?
So correct. And what you'll have there is you've got the $67 million, and then you have the 48 that's already in that, okay? So if they get the $25 million here, it's going to get them closer. And then what they do eventually get from Congress will help.
$67 is on top of the 47. It's 67 right. Additional
that is correct.
After the 47. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. It was $132 million, and the fuel tax came into play, and now it's worth down to that extent. So the $25 million would help them getting closer to the $67 million.
Okay.
with the AML now recommendation, the other 25 million are still short.
Well, that's a yearly number, 67. The 25 is just a biennial number, right?
The $67 million is an annual number, and the appropriation from Congress is an annual number as well.
But the 25 in this request,
that would
is
be
a
one-time single appropriation, be applied most likely, as Representative Nicholas said before, as quick as possible.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other questions on number 8? Representative Connolly.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Kevin, this 25 of AML funds, is that out of the 165, or is that the different pot of the AML funds?
Mr. Chairman, that comes out of the 165.
So, Mr. Chair, just to be clear, so what we're doing is we're actually just directing DOT what to do with the money that we told them that we wanted them to swap out from letter 3.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we're on number 9 now.
Mr. Chairman, Mary Kay Hill to speak about the Wyoming High School First Robotics Competition. The governor first became more familiar with the first robotics competition as part of his conversations and participations with the XPRIZE Foundation and the business leaders and the researchers who were working on the XPRIZE issues were also involved in the first robotics program, and they commended this program to him. He sent Deputy Chief Young to the national competition. There was a team from Big Piney who was participating in the national competition. There have been on occasion other representatives of Wyoming who have been able to participate in the national competition. One of the reasons that competition in first robotics specifically comes and goes is the basic expense of the program, the equipment necessary to build your robots and then to move on. The national leaders of the first robotics competition are really eager to help Wyoming in every way they can to attract corporate sponsors, to attract the attention of some of your, the University of Wyoming and other top drawer institutions that look at these STEM skills and these robotics skills. The governor would like to make Wyoming the first state in the nation in which every high school student has access to a first robotics program and a mentor attached to that. He has spoken over the past year with some of you about the hopes for this program. It's a relatively new program, obviously, and we would like to use these funds to work with the National First Robotics Competition folks to provide robotics equipment, training for teachers who would like to be mentors, or training for citizens who would like to be mentors. This could also be done through after-school programs. The governor sees this as a companion initiative to the Tier 1 Engineering Initiative and to the STEM work that we're trying to promote in Wyoming.
Okay, any questions? Okay, Representative Connolly.
Mary Kay, what department would get this?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Connolly, these funds would come to the governor's office for our implementation of the program. And I should say, as I've tried to do with other items, the We the People program, for example, we is in the governor's profile. This one, this $250,000, is not in the governor's current profile, so this would be new money. There had been some discussion, and some of you have talked to the governor over the last year, would recall that we looked at potential of taking some of the funds for some of these other grant programs and taking a slice of those and moving those over. After the governor looked at those, he thought that perhaps he better leave well enough alone, and so would like to create this as a new program.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stubson.
Is there, as part of this $250,000 promotional, I mean, to spread news of the opportunities of this program around the state, I'm assuming that some of that's going to have to be built in just so schools know that the opportunity is out there and that they have, you know, the rules of the road, I guess, in developing their own programs and in getting their students involved.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stubson, you're correct. Several states host their own competitions, their own regional competitions. We'd like to create a regional competition for this kind of thing in Wyoming. We don't have one right now. And it's important to emphasize the partnership with the national leadership of First Robotics, who is willing to work with us to train teachers and to bring awareness into the high schools. This money, it really is intended to be more directly distributed to the high schools and the teams that would compete.
So this is a one-time or biennial or a yearly or?
Mr. Chairman, this is a one-time biennial request.
Okay.
We'll see how good a job we do in implementing and come back to you, and if it's worthwhile, it would continue. But it is one time, so we see how we do.
Okay. Okay, moving on to Governor's Letter 10.
Mr. Chairman, this is a request. A number of years ago in 2011, the legislature established an account in the state auditor's office and funded that with $500,000. The purpose of that account was to address emergent problems that might occur with brucellosis. And so in 2013, Game and Fish does what kind of a rotating test of elk who are harvested by hunters every year, and brucellosis was discovered up in the Bighorns. As a result, some of that money was used to go ahead and buy a spectrometer, which is a special testing machine for brucellosis, and also to leave in place the surveillance in the Bighorns instead of while it rotated in other parts of the state. That was really significant to the state not receiving some kind of a necessity that we have extra burdens to bear before our cattle can go be sold in livestock markets across state lines. And so it's been helpful in that regard, and it's an important fund, I think, to keep Wyoming in the position it is with regard to brucellosis. So the governor would just ask that the fund be brought back up to to $500,000. It's almost a contingency fund or emergency fund specifically related to brucellosis.
Okay, question then is have we since 2011 added to it, or has 500 been the one number, and then it's been this drawdown over 4 years?
Mr. Chairman, actually, brucellosis money in the state is in three pots. The Livestock Board has some brucellosis money. The Game and Fish has brucellosis money, and actually there's a little bit of brucellosis money over at the University of Wyoming. And so there's been a number of requests since $500,000 to draw on that account, but this is the only time we've drawn on it, because if there's been brucellosis money in those agencies that they could use that was not going to be in excess, we've required them to use those monies first.
Okay, so it's not, you've only had one appropriation out of this account, it's 168.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
A one-time, so it's not been a four-year drawdown of $40,000 a year or something. It's been a one-time event, $168,000.
Yes, Chairman? Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay, Senator Burns.
Does that mean there's still a little more than $330,000 in the account?
Right.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, that's correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Kevin.
Yes, I would like to add one other piece of information. In the Game and Fish's budget, they did ask for $367,937 to work the brucellosis program. The governor denied that with the ask to just bring this $168,400 to the brucellosis fund, and then the governor's office can allocate that funding upon necessity.
Okay. Okay, any other question? Okay, I think we're on number 11.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Carrie Gray. And in the course of the governor going through agency budgets, the public defender, the Natrona County District Attorney, the Laramie County District Attorney, and the county attorneys each brought forward exception requests. Those exception requests almost uniformly asked for positions. In the case of the public defender, capital case dollars, maybe most of you have followed that the court has ordered the public defender of the state of Wyoming to pay for the cost of defense in the Eaton case. And so that's an expensive case, and the public defender also has potential. They monitor cases that have the potential to be capital cases, and I think there are five possible capital cases in the state right now. It's difficult because the offices are all structured differently and operate a little differently to determine, what's an equitable need across those departments and what they need to actually operate in a functional and appropriate way. So the governor recommended in each of those individual budgets, I think in the case of the district attorneys, one position in each and some money for capital case expenditures for the public defender. Additionally, he's asking this body to authorize $25,000 to actually study the structure and needs of those offices to determine whether or not they could reorganize a little bit and be more efficient and not need these positions, or whether they really do need positions in order to operate effectively. So this is a request for $25,000 from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account for that study.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Are these the same positions that the district attorneys and the public defender asked for? Because as I recall, the public defender, I can't recall the district attorney, but in the case of the public defender, I believe the governor in his budget okayed a new position down in Douglas.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, the governor denied most of the position requests, but you'll see in paragraph 2 that he actually authorized two part-time positions that the public defender had, and those aren't 50-50 part-time. I think one of them is like a 98%
right.
Part-time. So he offered he asked for in her budget that those be made full-time, and he authorized one position each for each district attorney. But this request just lays that out for you. That was in their budgets. This is for $25,000 to actually study the county attorneys, the way that they're funded, which is a little differently. That's a statutory construct where we just give some reimbursement money to county attorneys based on a formula. But we actually fund as we would an agency, both district attorneys and, of course, the public defender. This is a request to study the way those departments are staffed and operate to determine if there's efficiency that can be found within their operations so that they maybe don't need positions, or if they do need positions, to determine what those positions should be.
Mr. Chairman, who is it that would do that study?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, I don't know that we've gone so far as to identify that person, but the governor's asked that this money be put with ANI, who has a close working relationship with a number of experts in this field that could probably work closely with those district attorneys and with the public defender to determine the right person to conduct such a study.
Thank you.
Okay, and the public defender talked about this study when she was here, and so... This request is not in the governor's current budget.
Mr. Chairman, this $25,000 is in the governor's profile as it's profiled in the front. And these positions that we're talking about, we just did that for background.
I remember those, yeah.
Right.
But this $25,000 is or is not in the governor's budget?
It is in the governor's profile, on the governor's profile.
So this letter is, as it says, just to confirm that he did indeed ask for it. So he's not really asking again. He's just letting us know he asked for it. Is that the way I read this?
Mr. Chairman, what we've done here with these letters, and we've been tried to be clear, we've written a letter for each item that's in the governor's profile that was not otherwise found in an agency budget.
Oh, okay.
I think that
so
that's...
So it's not in A&I?
It's not in A&I, no.
Got it. Okay. Okay, thanks.
So, and Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stubbs.
Just again on that final point, you say ANI has relationships with people that know about this area. So is the $25,000 for consulting fees? I'm still not clear what that's for.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stubbs, that's what it would be for. I mean, you would need to have somebody come in. Those offices, actually, particularly I'm thinking of the district attorneys, they're really unique from each other. They're structured quite a bit differently. They staff differently from Laramie to Natrona County. And then, of course, the public defender operates across the state. And so caseloads are, disparate, and of course the work is disparate, and so it's an effort to find an expert to come in that can actually work with those folks, evaluate their staffing, evaluate the way their office is constructed, and bring back to the governor and to this body a recommendation about that, and that would be, you know, in collaboration and a partnership with these entities.
Okay. Here's what I think, or unless we, when we finish this, we're going to take a short break. Go ahead, okay. Representative Connelly. Oh, yeah, let's continue it on for a while.
Okay. I think there's a little, just more confusion. So the paragraph beforehand about the capital cases, the $1 million there, that really has nothing to do specifically with the request for $25,000, other than that public defenders are typically responsible for the defense in those cases and are part of the state budget.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Connelly, that paragraph, I think, was an effort by the governor. Yes, you're right. The request in this letter is for $25,000 for a study. The paragraph preceding is to acknowledge and sort of as a background to remind you all as you go through these budgets that the request was much larger out of each of these agencies, and they come in with an increasingly desperate request that they can't get their job done. So it sort of was what played into the governor's decision that we needed to have some sort of a basis with which to determine whether or not they need additional staff or help. The public defender, the governor did not recommend all of her requests for capital case funding, and it was just to let you know that in the offing, he expects that that really will be additional in the supplemental budget.
Okay. Senator Burns.
Just a real quick question.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
This $1 million on the capital case for the public defender, is that money necessary to carry out the appeals process in the Eaton case?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, I think currently that the public defender has three active death penalty cases that she's working on, and only one of which is the Dale Wayne Eaton case. That one is projected to be the most expensive, and I think it is projected at, I don't want to say a number because I can't remember exactly, but I don't think that, but I can tell you that this number is not sufficient to cover the cases that she has actively pending right now that are death penalty cases, depending on if they settle or where they go.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my thinking on this, and tell me if I'm wrong, is from the various, from the federal court decision and so forth and the money that the judge required that we spend on the public defender. Is there any particular reason to think that the other two capital cases aren't going to be just as expensive as the Eaton case? I'm not going after the Eaton case particularly, but just as a template for the following capital cases after it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, you know, I'm sure there's an assessment that the public defender makes based on the experts, the complexity of the case. There are certain interesting things about capital case defense. Just for example, all of the people who work in a capital case defense, in order to have effective assistance of counsel, have to have a certification. That's offered in a school in Santa Monica, so she has to send her public defenders there, and she's calculated that into the cost in order to make sure she has people that are capable of doing that. There also, in some of these cases, are some contract people that are assisting, and she's estimated that. So the basis of this request would be the public defender's assessment of her capital cases, and we believe that she's done a good assessment and an adequate job of that. And I do think that there's differences in the projected cost of these cases.
Well, that may be the circumstances we're facing. I mean, the state Supreme Court found his defense to be adequate, but then a federal judge found it to be inadequate. And that federal judge, that same federal judge is going to be there for a while. So I'm wondering if we're not going to, if we're going to be looking at this, we're going to have to, with our eyes wide open, be looking at what the bill's going to be, to pursue capital cases on both sides of the courtroom.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, I think you're exactly right. I mean, we have an obligation to pay when this is the case. It's just that sometimes a case that you think is going to be a capital case ends up not being a capital case. There are other reasons, you know, that I wouldn't be the person to really respond to this, but I will tell you that she is concerned that the costs in the next year might go up, and she's doing the best job that our public defender is doing the best job that she can to estimate the need for this through the biennium. Those numbers will become more clear, I think, next year, which is why we kind of put the caveat in here that we might be asking for a supplemental budget based on that. Of the five cases that she's watching that may or may not become capital cases, you know, as they work their way through the system, she'll get a better sense of those.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll take that $25,000 request under advisement. Now we're going to take a break for 5 minutes, and then we'll come back with number 12. Okay, now we're on water strategies, Governor's Letter number 12.
Mr. Chairman, this letter refers to the Governor's water strategy. The water strategy was a component of the energy strategy, and so last year the Governor's water strategy got published, and it has a number of initiatives, is what those are called in there, that move water forward in Wyoming. One of those projects is 10 and 10, which is a completion of 10 reservoirs or water storage programs over the course of 10 years. That particular project, which is sort of the big one, is being addressed by the Select Water Committee. But there are other initiatives, and I've listed them, or the governor's listed them here in this letter, and those would be require smaller amounts of money and, generally speaking, one-time amounts of money to complete. And they are monies that would be expended through the state engineer, game and fish, and a number of different agencies. So the governor is asking for $1 million from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account for the completion of these water strategies, and these ones listed in the third paragraph because the 10 and 10 is being separately dealt with by Select Water.
Well, our notes, you know, I'm looking at our notes from development office. Could do 3 in 3 years, then 4 and 5. Total dollars for these five projects, $200 million. But we could probably do 4 of the top five that are ready to go. $150 million, what we have in the account, will build 4 of them, is what I have on my notes. The fifth one, though, alone is $80 million by itself. So we could do 4 of the top five for the $150 million. So what's another million going to matter in this $150 million account? And is another million going to finish off the other five?
Mr. Chairman, so I tried to separate the 10 and 10, the water storage, which would be talked about by water development. And I think if you did, the idea or the concept behind 10 and 10 is one storage project a year for 10 years, and then you get 10 storage projects. Those are being worked against the $150 million that currently exists in Water 3 and being separately worked by the Water Development Committee.
I think I answered my own question.
Right. And then these other projects down below, the other nine initiatives.
Any other questions besides that one that I shouldn't have asked? Okay. All right. We're flipping over to Governor's Letter 13. Yeah, I got to put a dollar in a don't ask that question can somewhere. Okay, here we go. Number 13.
Mr. Chairman, in the governor's profile, he had asked for $90 million from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account for local government. That would be direct distribution dollars to support cities, towns, and counties with the operation of their government. In addition to that, and I believe he's had an opportunity maybe to visit with some of you, we've been trying to word these in such a way, but that you could actually. I guess I'm going to get myself confused. Sorry. So this is where it becomes relevant that the governor asked originally for the highway $25 million to support roads and transportation to come out of the LSRA, and is now through these letters recommending that it come out of the AML funds. So he's asking that the money freed up by that plus a little be actually set aside for consensus block grant projects for local government infrastructure projects. And so there's been a lot of discussion about infrastructure and appropriate supports of cities and towns. It's something that the governor believes strongly in. So he's asking here for the $90 million originally found in his profile out of the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, and an additional $33 million for consensus block grant funding. He kind of traded it out of with the AML for highways.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, I think we're on number 14.
Mr. Chairman, this is the 211 program probably most folks are familiar with. It's a nonprofit kind of a program. It's a call-in model that people can call 211 if they need help figuring out what services they need, or if they don't know how to contact somebody, or if they're just kind of lost to bring services all together. The 211 program has really become operational since this body and the governor have been supporting it over the last couple of years. And last year, it handled on average of a call volume of 600 to 800 calls per month, and it is now operational in all 23 Wyoming counties. And so the governor is asking for $200,000 to continue to support the 211 program.
Okay. Number 15.
I've lost my letter, but Mr. Chairman, this is the request for the state capitol renovation. As you know, the Wyoming session laws direct that the governor make this request. And in addition to that, I think that this body, the legislature as a whole, and the governor have been working hard on the capital, and we need to, of course, continue the payments. So this is the request for the next installment on the capital renovation of $37,500,000, which I think this would be the second to last payment.
That was my question I had.
Yeah,
is this the second of his? Your governor requested one payment
right.
in his budget. That's the second payment.
Right, right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, that number could be a little less, about $7.5 million less. Don, what do you, I mean, because we've had some interest on that account.
Yes, exactly. Mr. Chairman, the third payment could be around $30 million as opposed to $37.5
million. I'm thinking this is – okay, let me back it. This is what I'm thinking. If we get – let's say we have three payments left, and we get the first in Section 346, if this then would be the third payment?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry because I misspoke. This would be the second payment. So there's the 346 payment, and then the governor asked for the payment in his profile. That's this payment.
Okay.
There will be one payment. So I meant to say it's second to the last payment, or there'll be one more payment after this. That's the payment that could be in a reduced amount depending on what the balance is. So there will be one payment still needed after this payment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he already has this payment in his budget.
He has it on his profile, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, it's not in
his
budget?
No.
Well, then there would be two payments
left.
No, not in the budget.
This is the second. Yeah. Well, I can.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. It's on his profile, but not in the budget, and so that's why you're bringing the letter.
Right. In the profile, the discussion that was going on here is for with regard to what the bottom line is on the budget. Of course, the items that the governor recommends out of the profile are taken out of available revenue sources, so the bottom line on the profile, but the profiled items aren't in any budget. They're just on the profile.
Okay. Don, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, not to make this more complicated, but recall our discussion where we had the $107 million obligation, and that went down to $30 million given Governor's Letter number 3. If this is approved, that would release an additional $37 million of obligation in that account and leave about $65 million for 19 and 20 to fully fund the $50 million commitment to reach the 2.5%. If if that makes
sense. Oh, okay, gotcha. On the spa.
Correct. Account. So this
helps. Spa account.
Right. If this gets paid, then that obligation for, on that account is reduced.
Which is a good thing. Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, number 16.
Mr. Chairman, this is a request by the governor for senior centers. And senior centers are last year had asked for the second half of the biennium for $200,000, which was because of a federal reduction in their in grants that they get from the federal government. And we had sorted through and found that money internally, but it was that is not available this year, and it was kind of a life or death situation in their minds about whether or not they would be able to continue their programs to the level that they had been offering them, and particularly the providing of meals and those kinds of items. They estimated that their need, of course, because they have an ongoing reduction in federal grant, to be $500,000 in this biennium. The governor had agreed with the seniors about the importance of this program and asked in his profile and then here in this letter just making sure that it was out there for $500,000 for the biennium for the benefit of senior programs across the state.
So is this, again, you said is in the profile, but it's not in the Department of Health's budget?
It is not, Mr. Chairman, in the Department of Health's budget.
Okay. Hence the letter.
Yes.
Okay. Next is number 17.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the governor, with the support of the legislature last year, had 2 years ago now, had established the governor's task force on forests. This was a group that had come together for the purposes of being proactive with regard to the forests that we have in Wyoming and to make recommendations on forest health. It included, you know, consumers of forest goods, the lumber industry. It included recreationists. It included conservationists. And they had come up with a number of recommendations that they thought positioned Wyoming ahead of the curve on forest and forest health, which is helpful as the Forest Service begins to redo its forest plans. So those recommendations are being implemented now, and they estimate that they need an additional $50,000 to finish out the recommendations in their forest health publication, which I think was provided to this committee when it was published last session. And so the governor is asking for $50,000 to continue to implement the recommendations of the health of the task force on forest health.
Okay. Next.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, this is an interesting request. For a number of years, the Livestock Board has asked for raises for its brand inspectors. Brand inspectors are at-will employee contract positions. They're a little bit different, difficult to quantify. And in the last two requests, the Livestock Board had not had any sort of independent or objective wage data to compare their brand inspector salaries with. This year, in their budget, the Livestock Board asked for, I think, $349,000, which would equate to a 5% raise for brand inspectors. The governor had denied that request. He denied that request in recommended denial in their actual budget, which they maybe testified to you. Because they did not have any independent objective data on what the salaries of brand inspectors should be or how they compared to similar positions in this state or in other states. What he did at the conclusion of that hearing is he asked the ANI to work with the Livestock Board to do a survey of those kind of positions and a classification that would fit with what we do for all other state employees with the Hay study. And in fact, the Department of Administration and Information has come back that brand inspector wages are about 13.64% below the minimum of comparable positions, and comparable positions don't necessarily just mean other brand inspectors. They mean people who do that kind of work or would be classified in that kind of work. It might be, a meat inspector or another brand inspector, but they try to get a really informed assessment of what that is. So it's been more than 8 years since brand inspectors have had a raise. Their salaries are low, and it would take $736,000 biannually to fund Wyoming brand inspectors. Those wages are funded from other funds, from fees, from the livestock industry, and so they are not general fund dollars. And so the governor is asking for $736,000 to implement a 13.64% raise for brand inspectors.
Mr. Chairman? Where's ANI's report? Did we get that or? Okay. I thought I saw it earlier, but I can't find it. Is it on SharePoint?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Gurr, I'm not sure. We haven't given that report, so unless someone else did, we'll make sure that we get that to you.
Where'd you get it? Oh, I should have looked in the box.
We have it.
Next.
It's there.
Mr. Chairman.
Don, go ahead.
Representative Greer, it's number 148, and it is on SharePoint.
I found it in the box. It's on the bottom.
Okay. Do you have a question, Representative Greer? Your mic's on there. I didn't know. Okay. Okay, next.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. The next request also is on the governor's profile, and it is for the 2016 energy strategy. So the Wyoming's first energy strategy was published in 2013. It contained 45 initiatives, and at this time, 28 of those initiatives are 100% complete. That's a little bit awkward to explain because it may mean, like, for example, that the baseline water rules have been fully vetted, implemented, and adopted. But the work on those things will be ongoing. Just because they're complete, it means whatever the charge was and the strategy was complete, and not that the work on those won't be ongoing. So, and of the 13 that are not yet completed, they are well along in their implementation and are anticipated that most of those will be done within the next 6 months. So in the meantime, the governor went out for another iteration of that strategy, which is you go around the state. He goes around the state, and people from all over the state contribute and play a role in developing initiatives. The one lesson we learned from the first strategy that was too many initiatives to actually do justice to. So the new strategy contains 12 initiatives, and the governor has listed those here. And just as an estimate that to complete those would be $500,000, and so he asked for $500,000 from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account to attach to the 12 new initiatives of the 2016 Energy Strategy. The idea behind the Energy Strategy is that it's a living document and that it needs to continue and to keep Wyoming in a leadership position, that we're ahead of the curve with most other, far ahead of the federal government and other states, and this is keeps us competitive. And so we've been really pleased. The governor has worked hard to make sure that energy, one of his number one initiatives, is addressed in an appropriate way through these strategies.
Okay. Senator Burns.
I'm just curious, and maybe it's my newness to this, but why does the governor put something in his profile but not in his budget?
So historic, Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, I believe that there's always been a profile that the governor submits. I think sometimes those are issues that the governor wants to highlight. Sometimes those are initiatives that an agency hasn't actually asked for, and generally speaking, those would not be ongoing or standard budget kind. They wouldn't be recurring kinds of items. And so in this case, the water strategy, the energy strategy, robotics, after those get off the ground, the legislature may determine that they should be housed in an agency and become a program. But at this time, those are initiatives of the governor that he wants to highlight. For the most part, those would be intended to be one-time monies that they wouldn't be ongoing or become part of the standard budget and perhaps wouldn't be an initiative of the future legislatures or another governor.
Okay.
Well, maybe I'm repeating myself. Not just for this issue alone, because there are a number of items from his letters before that you said this was in the governor's profile but wasn't in his budget. And if the governor considered it that important, why didn't he put it in his original budget?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, the governor's budget historically is not a programmatic budget. It just addresses the actual operations of the office. And so the governor on these initiatives, sometimes you'll see that they're not placed in his office's budget, but they're someplace else. And so they are items that are I think imperative in nature, but I don't think historically, I think at least ever since I've been here, which is only since 2011, we've always put together this profile to highlight those items that don't really fit someplace else. Again, sometimes like in the brucellosis, it's in the auditor's office. Sometimes it's something like the brand inspector salaries that for, I think, appropriate and valid reasons, the governor denied out of their budget but decided it was important. But with these initiatives, I think it's a highlight of these projects that are generally speaking joint projects of the governor, that he works closely with the legislature in making sure that they have that highlight. And I think that's been traditional long before Governor Mead.
Okay. Okay, next.
Mr. Chairman, the letter, Mary Kay Hill, this request involves the University of Wyoming College of Engineering and Applied Sciences building. I want to walk you through first what is in the governor's current budget that you saw when you reviewed Agency 67. You saw a request for $4 million, which in essence backfilled funds that were moved by this body over to cover expenses related to the High Bay facility. So in the 67 budget, which is both profiled and budgeted, you'll see $4 million. You will also see in the 67 budget funds for $1 million to look at the power plant needs on the north part of campus, $3 million for property acquisition. And I should also emphasize that for purposes of dealing with these initiatives, your science initiative is a separate line item, and your engineering building is a separate line item. Since the time the governor put his budget to press and it was presented to you, it has become apparent that an additional $10 million, actually I think it's an additional $11 million is needed, but the university thinks they may be in time able to come up with another million. So we're requesting, the governor is requesting $10 million in LSRA funds in order to complete the construction piece of the engineering facility specifically.
I just have a question here now. First of all, the $10 million is not an increase. That's because donations. Are we talking about two different things here on this letter? I'm looking at number two.
Right.
I'm looking at number two, $10 million necessary to begin time of construction is because of the matching issue.
Mr. Chairman, you're correct.
So, because I want to be very clear, people are listening, you said $10 million more is needed. The project is not increased. Is that correct?
Correct, Mr.
There's
Chairman.
Not been an increase in the cost of the project. Okay.
That's correct. And folks here from the university if you need additional information. But
and then I think you said this is LSRA. These are actually redirection of AML funds.
Excuse me. Yes, I'm not doing a very good job here at 5 o'clock.
I just want to make sure I'm on the same letter everybody else is. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, we have $9 million, which was appropriated to the governor's office for commercial scale value added products. That's $9 million. And then another $1 million for a natural gas filling station that's currently housed in the Department of Transportation, I believe. We would propose that you redirect those already existing funds to the University of Wyoming for the purpose of completing the construction project at a cost that is consistent with the information you have received every other time it's been presented.
Okay, so really, number one is already in the budget. I remember that in UW's
Correct.
Budget. So action that this committee will have to take on is really number two and number
Mr.
three.
Mr. Chairman, and number three, we need to change the language.
Two and three. Okay. All right, good. Anything else? Okay. Next, number 21.
Health centers. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Which one?
I have number 21.
Oh.
Mr. Chairman, is that AML redirection of prior authorization?
Yes, redirection of prior authorization.
Mr. Chairman, Alex Keene, Governor's letter number 21 is regarding the redirection of a prior authorization. In 2012, there was $2 million of prior balance AML dollars appropriated to the Wyoming Pipeline Authority. This governor's letter is asking to change the recipient of those funds and to extend that reversion date. So they're asking that the funds be redirected to the governor's office because now the governor's office is working on this corridor project, the Wyoming Pipeline Corridor Initiative. Under the current law, the reversion date is June 30, 2016. And so this letter is asking that be extended. So it's kind of a two-piece thing. It's extending the reversion date and changing the recipient to the governor's office from the pipeline authority.
Okay. How come it's not being done by the Wyoming Pipeline Authority anymore? Why the change?
Mr. Chairman, there were issues involving the federal pipeline oversight authority that made work on this project not consistent with the charge of the pipeline authority. So the person who had been working on that was moved over to our office with the same funds that were attached to that.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Greer.
You know, I call this initiative. What work's been ongoing? I know that stepped in and helped with some resource management plans and identifying some corridors and reserving some future development with it. What is the next step? I mean, what are we going to do with this? Just help me.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Greer, part of this initiative is to map a corridor that can be uniformly used by all sorts of pipelines. So you'd have a corridor. It would have the proper easements and authorization across public lands, federal public lands, state public lands, and that once you get this map together, that so if somebody wanted to do a pipeline project and that these easements or permissions in the case of federal and state land had been adapted, that you would accomplish a couple of different things. That number one, you would reduce the impact of, I've heard it called like a spaghetti of pipelines across the state, and so that you would sort of draw those pipelines into a single corridor. Number two, you would really expedite the permitting process because NEPA and environmental assessments and all of that would have been done. And so at this point, at this juncture, I believe that there has been an identified path, that there's ongoing collaboration with BLM, Forest Service, other public land administrators, and that it's getting very close to having a pipeline. And I actually think it's more than one pipeline, and I'm sorry that I'm not as conversant on that as I should be, but that you would have some pipeline corridors that would meet that criteria and objective, that those would actually be permitted. And I think that we're looking at the EISs have come in now. Those are being studied. That's a critical juncture. And once those go through, if those get approved, I think we'll actually have approved pipeline corridors. So it's a really exciting project that's really moving along at a very good pace given all of the different kinds of regulatory arenas that it works within.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, maybe just being a year removed from minerals, I mean, I worked on this for quite a few years, and my understanding was, at least, you know, you look at Natrona, Fremont, Hot Springs, Washakie County, that this was mapped out. And again, it was integrated into those resource management plans that happened in both of those areas. So are we going forward with EISs for a pipeline so that it's in place so when prices rebound? Is that the next step, is to have the EISs done and ready for
I think
industry?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Kerr, I believe those are done, that they're being reviewed now for comment. I mean, I think that it's that far along, and I think it's actually bigger than the counties that you mentioned, because Lincoln County would be a part of that, and Uinta County. And my understanding, and I don't want to be confusing. I could be confusing NEPA and EIS, but I believe it's EIS that is in now that we are reviewing for comment, and that they have to do those EISs, even though those are included in a resource management plan, that is a necessary step, and that we're making comment on those now.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I may just follow up later on that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I could add quickly, because it may help your representative. There are multiple stages to an EIS, and so what's been received just this last December are multiple preliminary EIS documents, which now go out for another round of review prior to getting to the next stage. So we can have the person who's doing that give you a real good report on what he's up to, and I'll make sure he follows up with you personally.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, how much funds are remaining out of the $2 million appropriation?
Mr. Ahead, Chairman, we don't have an exact number right now. We will get that to you.
Okay. Okay, I think we're on number 22.
Mr. Chairman, the Federally Qualified Health Center's request, this is profiled on the governor's budget profile, but it is not part of an agency budget. So it's in that family of issues. Over the years, we have asked you to fund certain initiatives that leverage healthcare in Wyoming for relatively minor dollars that are community-focused and that allow us to expand coverage opportunities. One such example in the previous years has been medical homes initiatives. Part of the medical homes initiatives then led to the development voluntarily and independently of the state of a number of federally qualified health centers, which are funded primarily through Medicaid dollars. There are federal requirements attached to the development of a federally qualified health center, and to emphasize, these are community-based organizations. They are governed by a community board of directors, the majority of which must come from their patient pool. There are currently 8 of those centers operating in Wyoming in 13 locations, and so what we're asking is for $1 million to continue to support the communities in identifying the need for these making their federal applications, and then we get out of the way. So this is not a recurring expenditure. This is an effort to try to identify additional communities that would be in need of federally qualified health centers and to expand those opportunities within that.
The $1 million then, general fund dollars to assist in applications, how many do you think you have out there? How much good will this $1 million? Two applications, 10 applications?
Mr. Chairman, it's hard to say. Each community is going to have a different need. And to be honest, this came to us from federally qualified health centers around the state who said we need more of these. So this is a ballpark number. Of course, the Department of Health would be conservative in its approach for this. But I couldn't tell you, would this give us 8 more? Would this give us 5 more? It would assist with those communities in their efforts, and so I can't be more specific than that.
Mr. Chair.
All righty. Representative Nicholas.
For the existing 8 federally qualified health centers, how did they come into existence? Was it state dollars, or did they go out and do it themselves? Did they have assistance? How did that happen?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nicholas, in most of these instances, there were existing clinics, and those clinics were looking for ways to survive. So they identified this particular program within the Medicaid statutes that would help them. So it was not a state-sponsored initiative for these original 8, although we did write letters and help them through the process.
Okay. Representative Kong.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mary Kay, can you get us a list of the existing 8 in the 13 locations in the state?
Representative, yes.
Okay.
Starting in the morning. Don't you think? Huh?
Yeah. We could do the governor. We could do the governor. Don, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, while they're searching for the answer to that, to Representative Nicholas's question on Governor's Letter Number 21, there's $3.2 million remaining of the $2 million appropriated for the Pipeline Authority.
3.2 remaining of the two?
Excuse me, 1.32.
Okay. I think we're – is there anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We don't have anything else.
Okay.
Okay, but if you need us to respond to anything or give you any clarification, we're available to you.
Okay, sure, appreciate it. We're going to take a short break. I think we're going to be done for today unless we want to mark up.
I told you.
Agency number one, governor's budget. We're ready to get going. So I don't think we have a full consensus on that tonight, so we're going to back off and start at 8 with the governor's budget. But members, don't leave yet. We're going to, after we have a break, we're just going to meet informally and kind of make sure we have the procedure. Okay, so I'm going to push the off button. Thank you very much.